Well, good morning all. I'm going to read you a little extract from, during all the way through Lent, I've been following this little book called Priesthood. We were actually given it by Bishop Campbell 10 years ago, so it's taken me a long time to get around to it. But it's a series of essays by priests and bishops and things on the priesthood. But I thought I'd share this little one with you by a priest from Liverpool. Scousers are everywhere this week. called Father Bill Redmond, and it's called Leaving Safe Harbours, or Are We On Board the Titanic? Okay. Starts by saying, the popular librettist Gilbert of Gilbert and Sullivan always gave his works two titles. For example, HMS Pinafore or The Lass That Loved a Sailor. Gilbert's point was to explain the first short title by the second longer one. His tale here is about a humble, able seaman who falls in love with a wealthy captain's daughter. Now take the two titles of this little article, the one that he's written. The second is a wee bit longer than the first, but more to the point, does the second explain the first? Is the leaving safe harbours just a dumbed-down way of saying that we're all aboard the ill-fated Titanic, out in mid-Atlantic, and about to be hauled by an enormous and lethal iceberg, and we've no Leonardo DiCaprio or Kate Winslet aboard to improve the view? The answer to that lies entirely in how we, as clergy and laity, respond to the quite radical changes that the leaving safe harbour process is urging upon us. Some facts. Fewer clergy, mainly middle-aged, it's nice we just middle-aged. Some in indifferent health, far fewer weekend mass attenders, some middle-aged, many elderly, very few under 35. Loads of churches, many in the wrong places, and in the main half-empty weekend by weekend. For some, let's be honest, this is where the great liner, thought to be unsinkable, meets her doom. All these Cassandras are about to be proved right. Save us, Lord, we're going down. Or are we? Some more facts, perhaps. Western society is ageing, so inevitably is the European church. Smaller congregations now assemble, but in spite of, not because of, family or social pressure. We have too many church buildings because in the late 50s too many were built, and arguably for the wrong reasons. But above all, two facts stand out. When thick on the ground, I'm glad it's thick on the ground, not thick on the head here, the clergy took too much on themselves. Now, diminished in numbers, we must refocus our efforts towards basic evangelization and the dignified celebration of the Mass and the sacraments. Cardinal Hume led us into the age of the laity. This present period of evolution challenges the baptized lay faithful to fulfill their roles as prophet, priest, and king in the church. Later on today, of course, when I baptize Iris, we actually put that blessing on the child that she would be a priest, prophet, and king in the church. So, on board the Titanic, only if we panic, or worse, dig our heels in and refuse to adapt to a new ideal of communion where Father does less, but better, and the lay faithful continue to do more in the superb way that they are already doing. Not the Titanic then, but not a cruise on the QE2 either. Rather, an honest and sincere effort by all of us to row together in the same boat. We'll be sweating so hard that we'll melt the infamous iceberg. Isn't that lovely? So yesterday, 11 of us attended the Divine Renovation Conference at Salford Cathedral, along with 80 others from parishes all over the country. What is it? What is Divine Renovation? Simply, it's parish renewal. And the reason that Divine Renovation is gaining traction in the church today is because quite a few of us, quite a lot of people really, have the same firm grip on reality that Father Bill Redmond outlined in that little passage that I just read to you. We know we have to change the culture of our parishes if the church is to survive and thrive. And the keynote speaker described most parishes today as a cruise liner, with lots of activities and a comfortable atmosphere, with the passengers enjoying the set menu and all that goes on inside. What he says we should be is an aircraft carrier, returning every week from a mission, refueling here at Mass, and then going out again on mission. He quoted the famous words of our Lord when he sent the apostles out on mission. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and make them observe all the commands that I gave you. And the two most important words in that passage are, make disciples. And if you take those two words out, he said, that's where most parishes are now. We are baptizing and confirming without making disciples. As you know, every week I put the baptism anniversaries on the bulletin so that we pray for those children, because we promised we'd do that when we accepted them into our faith community. But where are those children now? And the parents who made their promises to bring their child up in the faith? They're not here because we failed to make them disciples. So what is a disciple? And how would you recognize one? And our speaker gave us seven indicators of what makes a disciple. Habitual worship, growth, service, giving, sharing their faith, living virtuously, and building community. And of the seven, when they went round the room and asked all the reps from the different parishes, of the seven, most parishes admitted that there are three that they don't do very well, if at all. They don't grow, they don't share their faith, and they don't build community. And this led him to give us an example of a conference he was giving in the Lake District last week, in which he asked to be introduced to the newish parishioner in the parish and to know how long he'd been in the parish. Do you know what the answer was? 15 years. The parish was about to celebrate its 150th anniversary, so he asked the only teenager, a 13-year-old, present, who he thought that he would be celebrating its 200th anniversary with. A sobering thought, you know, because will there actually be a parish there in 50 years' time? And don't forget, we celebrate our 100th in 3 years' time. And at the current rate, how many of our young people we'll celebrate the 150th if we don't start making disciples now. I could, of course, say much, much more, because it was a brilliant conference, full of hope and the joy of the Holy Spirit, but the main thrust was that our parish family has to become a church for life, so that when we do baptize and confirm and give First Holy Communion, and when we teach the faith in our Catholic schools, we are doing so actively and consciously to make Catholics for life, not just for special occasions, making disciples as Jesus commanded us to do. And the three keys that are used in divine renovation are, number one, the primacy of evangelization, the best of leadership, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are called keys for a reason, because they are the tools to unlock the parish so that the people on the outside can see what's going on in the inside. So, for example, inviting guests coming to a baptism to come to the Mass beforehand so that they can see the community into which this child is being baptized. The second key is to unlock the many gifts and talents stored away in each one of us so that they can be used for the common good. And the third key is to unlock the door of our hearts, to allow the Holy Spirit in, to empower us to make disciples as he did the apostles at Pentecost. Now, obviously, we came away with loads of ideas for the way ahead, and we're going to meet those 11 people and myself and anybody else who wants to join us next week to put them together so that we can share them with you, and to pray also that hopefully many of you will want to come on board of not a boat that's sinking, but a well-made, sturdy craft with Christ at the helm and the Holy Spirit providing the puff or the wind in their sails to get us where he wants us to be.